What is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg, and in today's episode, we're going to be breaking down a pretty ugly loss for the Wizards, 139 to 113 to the Charlotte Hornets. They had a chance to get above 500 for the first time since November 28th, 2022. Did not happen. It looked like it might. They were up 11 at halftime. We're playing really well. And then the defense just fell apart. Perimeter defense fell apart. Just a really bad game, I think, for Keefe. After he made some good adjustments in Dallas to win that game, thought he kind of coached the team out of this one. Because when you're up by 11, you lose by 26, 37 point swing. That in and of itself shows me that you were not able to adjust despite multiple big time runs from the other team, and that's not great. So we're gonna talk about it. We're gonna break it down. Obviously, some positives. You had Alex Saar, who looked terrific in 25 minutes. You had CJ McCollum play good offensively, but honestly, I don't think he played that well. And I'll talk to you about why I think that is. Rotations didn't make much sense. Cam Whitmore decided that he just won't pass the ball. There, I look. I try to look for positives, but this was a pretty negative loss, especially with the second half. So. Gonna break it down. I guess I'll start with the positive, which was Alex Saar. He finished with 21 points, 5 assists, 4 boards, had 3 blocks in 25 minutes. Again, I know a lot of people were looking for him in the second half. He's on a minutes restriction still, so that's probably the reasoning behind that. But nonetheless, I thought he made some great passes out of the short roll. Had a particular one to Bub in the far corner. He just couldn't make the three. So I liked his passing. I liked his physicality down low. Fought for a lot of offensive rebounds. When he got the ball inside, he dunked on Kalkbrenner. He went up strong for the most part. Had a fadeaway mid-range in the second half that I thought looked pretty good. 3 blocks as well. I thought he protected the rim well. So I don't have many gripes on Saar. He went 1 for 3 from three. Again, if you're taking 15 shots, 20% of them are from the outside. I don't mind that. Shot 9 of 15, so efficient there. I thought he was great. I think he's been great the first 3 games. And I think the reason is because they're not, and my guy Damo mentioned this on Twitter, and I couldn't agree more. They're not asking him to play like a guard or to play like a point forward. He doesn't have to initiate so much action because they have guys like Middleton, McCollum, George is playing well, that have helped allow Saar to just be a center. Just set screens, roll hard to the rim, rebound the ball, occasionally make a three, protect the rim. That's what centers do, and they're allowing him to do that, not asking him to do too much, which I think is why his efficiency is up, and it's why his performance is up as a whole. So I really like what I saw from Saar. Maybe I'll find a positive as I talk through this game, but that might be it. I mean, Trey Johnson as well. I'm gonna actually separate the positives. I'll talk about Trey later because I don't want to just influx it with negative stuff after that. But where do I even start with the downfall? The first half, 62 to 51. The Wizards were playing good defense. They were allowing LaMelo Ball to beat them. He had 25 or so in the first half, but they weren't allowing guys open from the perimeter. They held Charlotte to 3 of 23 from 3 in the first half. But that all fell apart in the second half. They couldn't locate shooters. There was a huge run for Charlotte where they ended up tying the game and eventually taking a 3-point lead in the second half, where Sion James was wide open and made a couple threes. Miles Bridges was open. Con Knipl drilled a couple. He was great. Again, I liked Con in the pre-draft process. So a lot of Wizards fans didn't. He's a solid player. He played really well against Wizards, had 20 plus points. They were all wide open looks. And do you want to know the reason why LaMelo Ball was getting these guys open looks? It's not because the Wizards players were just like, let me leave these shooters open. It's because Brian Keefe put Corey Kispert on LaMelo Ball. Your worst defender on their best player. Where does that make sense to you? I'll give him a little bit of leeway because Keyshawn picked up his fourth foul pretty early in the second half. He had been guarding LaMelo, doing an okay job, but still defense without fouling, a problem with Keyshawn. That put Keefe in a bind, right? But because your best defender has foul trouble when he's on your bench, does not mean you go to the worst defender on your roster and put him on LaMelo. LaMelo just blew by Corey, got into the paint, had a one-on-one with the center. He could have passed it for a lob, or he could have found the shooters. The Wizards were helping, maybe a little too much. And so that's why they were open. You can blame the defense all you want. It's the lineups that caused the bad defense. Corey Kispert should not be guarding LaMelo Ball at any point in the game, let alone you intentionally doing it. You had Champagne, who played 6 minutes off the bench. He had two offensive rebounds, got multiple extra possessions on offense, got to the line twice, made all four of his free throws. He played good defense. You had him available. Why are you not putting him on LaMelo? Why are you not putting literally anybody else? And the worst part was, when he didn't put Corey on LaMelo, he put Trey Johnson on LaMelo. And I don't think Trey's been the worst defender, as people might have thought early in his career. But he's not a good defender right now. He's really slim, and he has no sense of how to stay in front of a guy like Ball. And so Brian Keefe's adjustment to putting Corey Kispert on, that not working, was to put Trey Johnson for multiple possessions on LaMelo. And it was just blow by, blow by, blow by, over help, wide open shooter, and that's what works. And if they don't help, LaMelo either lobs it or takes the floater. Like, it was just so, it was bad. There were some questionable lineups. I took note of some of them, and I just want to kind of talk about it for a second. They had, at the start of the fourth quarter, the Wizards were down seven, I think 92 to 85, if I recall, at the beginning of the fourth quarter. They couldn't get any stops. They'd allowed 44 points in the third quarter. And Brian Keefe trotted this lineup out on the floor: CJ McCollum, Corey Kispert, Trey Johnson, Cam Whitmore. Is that, yeah, Cam Whitmore and Tristan Vukcevic. I honestly think four of those five are just bad defenders, and Cam Whitmore has shown the ability to be a solid defender, but I wouldn't call him good, or even great. Maybe he's good. He's not great. But that's realistically four really bad defenders and one okay defender. And you need stops. How does that correlate? I understand you're without Bilal, and obviously Bilal would have taken away, or at least done his best to take away LaMelo, and that would have certainly helped the Wizards tonight. But you only didn't have him. He was the only injured player. You had a plethora, your whole roster to do something. And that's the lineup you put out there. You're putting Tristan out there, which I like him for offensive purposes, but he was a literal cone tonight on defense. I mean, there was like four or five times where Musa Diabate just sat in the dunker spot, got a bounce pass when Tristan was just stood there between LaMelo and Diabate, and he gave up a dunk. There were multiple possessions where he was just out of place defensively. And you decided that he was the best center over Marvin Bagley. I get Sarr was sitting because of the minutes restriction, but I think Bagley's still a better defender than Tristan. And you go with Tristan, CJ, awful. He was a traffic cone on defense, consistently blown by, cannot guard a spot. He's 34. He's out there to get you a bucket. He knows that, you know that. But you need stops. And you're still playing him in a backcourt with Corey Kispert, which might be the two worst defenders on your, guard-wise on your team. You're throwing them out there, and of course you're not going to get stops. Of course shooters are going to be open. I didn't. That was just very confusing to me. And then Trey Johnson, obviously not a good defender as well. Cam Whitmore didn't play good defense tonight. It was mind-boggling that Keefe continued to go to these lineups. He put Corey a couple of possessions in the first half on LaMelo, and it didn't work. I didn't understand it in the slightest. I still don't understand it. We'll see if Keefe says something post-game about it. Hopefully, someone asks him about it. But it was just awful. Perimeter defense, wide open shooters, and the lineups made it even worse. Like I mentioned, they gave up 88 second half points, 44 in each quarter. Just bad. I mean, Colin Sexton as well. Like, even when LaMelo was out, Colin Sexton would dribble down and hunt Corey Kispert. The Hornets had a game plan, hunt Corey Kispert. And Sexton just drove at him, drove, drove, drove right by Kispert. Layup, foul, layup, kick out for an open three. It's a weak spot on your defense. And at a certain point, you're going to either have to need Corey to step up defensively and be able to guard his spot, or you're going to have to go somewhere else. And I go back to Justin Champagne every single time because these rotations have been so strange. Like, you sometimes, like, you'll have Tristan Vukcevic play 10 minutes in the first half and not play the second. Champagne played 6 minutes in the third quarter. What did he do outside of that? Realistically, didn't play at all. It doesn't make sense. Well, Riley played in spurts. You guys got to get into a rhythm, which is why I want an 8-9 man rotation. And you have Keith out here playing, 11 deep on each night. You got Will Riley playing some spurts, Champagne, Vucevic. Like, I don't mind playing three centers. I like that Tristan's getting to see the floor. But at a certain point, when you need stops, he's not the guy. And he was consistently put in those positions by Keith. I felt that I'm not going to come out here and say Keith lost them this game. They couldn't play defense for the life of them in the second half. They also struggled to generate looks offensively, which is something we'll talk about in a couple of seconds. But at the same time, like, I struggle to understand what Brian Keith wanted to accomplish with a lineup of CJ McCollum, Corey Kispert, Trey Johnson, Cam Whitmore, and Tristan Vukcevic when you needed stops and you couldn't get them. There's no defense in that lineup. And the other thing is there's no point guard. You're having CJ McCollum be your de facto point guard who has played on ball at points throughout his career and can do it, but all he was doing was shooting. I mean, like, he had Trey Mann on him and he got a couple buckets, but he just chucked shots. I mean, if I pull up the game log from tonight, the stats, CJ, what, 20 shots led the team. Next closest was Alex Saar, who had 15. CJ McCollum was 8 for 20 from the field, not the worst efficiency in 30 minutes, but 4 of 11 from 3, was a minus 5 at 24 points, 6 boards, 5 assists. He wasn't awful offensively, but he shot the ball a lot. A lot of deep threes, a lot of just putting his head down and going to the rim. And I just didn't like the way that that helped with the offensive flow. That lineup has no point guard. And he's not playing point guard. He's playing a shooting guard role in that lineup. So there's no ball movement. There's not enough there to really warrant the Wizards or Keith throwing that group out there. So I didn't like that at all. I thought that those minutes that Corey played to me, what he played off the bench, 20 off the bench was a minus 13. He just wasn't good. He had 0 points, took one shot. And it's the same thing with Corey. Like, I'm not gonna come out here and call him like this, make him the scapegoat of all the Wizards' problems, like a lot of Wizards fans do. Because I do think there's a spot for him in the rotation. But you're playing 20 minutes. You're taking only one shot. You're out there to shoot the ball from three. You take zero threes. You have one rebound, one foul, minus 13. Other than that, you log zero statistics. And I mean, if you're getting blown by consistently, it's like, okay, well, you need to give me something offensively. And when he's not doing that, it really sticks out for him being this liability on the defensive end. So really questionable rotations from Keith all night. Cam Whitmore, like, he was playing great in the first half. Like, I think when Cam Whitmore is making his shots, it's like, wow, this guy is great. Great spark off the bench. When he's not making his shots, it's like, does this guy ever pass the ball? I don't think Cam Whitmore has ever seen a lane that he doesn't think he can drive into, or a shot that he doesn't think he can make, or even attempt. Like, he has a score first mindset. Like, even when he gets a rebound, Bub is right there. He's not passing it off to Bub. He's dribbling up the floor and saying, how can I go get a bucket? And that's good, to some regard. But at a certain point, it gets the offense out of rhythm, takes away the ball movement, and just hurts the team as a whole. I mean, 21 minutes for Cam, 4 of 10 from the field, 1 of 3 from 3, had 4 boards, was a minus 16, and had 4 turnovers, led the team in turnovers. And those weren't like just bad passes. It was him forcing the ball into tight spots and getting it picked. He had an offensive foul earlier in the game, which I honestly think wasn't his fault, but him barreling over defenders, it's just stupid basketball. And it's what gets Brian Keith angry and what had him yell at Cam Whitmore the first couple of games is he doesn't play smart. And look, I was praising him in the beginning. He looked like he was going to be aggressive and use his body to his advantage. But as the game goes on, and as he continues to miss shots and turn the ball over in untimely spots, you sour on his performance a little bit, which I've done. When you're playing the most minutes off the bench and you're a minus 16 and you're shooting 4 of 10 and you have 4 turnovers, that's a bad game. I'm sorry. Like, I'm still high on Whitmore. I know a lot of Wizards fans and people that talk about the team are still high on him. But this style of play that he's had for the first 3 games, I don't know if that's sustainable, and I don't know if that's optimal in the long run for this team going forward. So, the Wizards bench, 23-4 in the first half, outscored Charlotte. That was great. That's when they were playing well. And then Corey disappeared in the second. Cam Whitmore disappeared in the second. And you just got no production. And as a result, the team was outscored by what, 37 points in the second half. So just a really bad rotations, I think questionable rotations Didn't think Whitmore was great apart from his little burst in the first quarter. Corey Kispert wasn't great. I mean, even Marvin Bagley struggled a bit. Took just one shot, was a minus 14. So again, kind of a tale of two halves. Thought that Washington really should have won this game, and they couldn't get stops, and they couldn't they didn't put out lineups that were capable, honestly, of getting those stops. So those are some of the things that I really didn't like. Will Riley had a couple nice plays in the first half, drilled a transition three, had another transition bucket. So you can see that you're able to run the floor with Riley, but he played 9 minutes. It's like you're playing him for 3, 4 minute bursts, and you're not letting him get into these rhythms. You know, at a certain point, you shouldn't be playing so many guys. Get your 8 to 9 man rotation, let them play. If they're not playing well, then sure, give Vuk a look, or give Riley or someone else a look. But I just don't think these rotations are sustainable throughout the entire season. So that's a lot of negatives, right? I didn't think they played well. This is, again, another point, and I'm not going to take a victory lap at it now. Like, I was very critical of this team after the first game because I felt they had another level. They got to that level against Dallas and then just completely went down to where they were in Milwaukee in the second half. Well, Keyshawn George was great, you know, against Dallas. His best performance in the league. 25 minutes tonight. He had, you know, plagued by foul trouble, ended up fouling out in the fourth. Had a tough assignment on LaMelo. LaMelo gets a lot of favorable calls. I thought a lot of them were fouls as well. I should say that. But really just not a good night. And you could see when he fouled out that Keyshawn was frustrated. Finished with 6 points on 3 of 7, missed all of his threes. 8 boards, 5 assists, which was nice, but had 3 turnovers. Obviously, was a minus 22. So again, it was kind of like really good in Dallas, not his best showing. They also tried their best to take Keyshawn away, which is going to happen, right? When you don't know, you know, the Wizards don't have many other options from him offensively outside. You know, in terms of creating shots, you know, I thought Bob Carrington again was not good. This is the third game in a row where I did not think he played well. 4 points in 26 minutes on 2 of 7 from the field, 5 assists. Like that minus eight, that can't be his performance as your starting point guard. It can't. And in moments where the offense needed him most, they needed someone to settle them into a rhythm. He was incapable of doing that. And it's just getting to a point where it's like, okay, like we need to see something. We're going to be patient. Obviously, you know, he has all season to realistically be the starting point guard. But his inability to get to his spots and to find open shooters and to run the offense, it's not concerning yet, but it's certainly something that needs to be discussed. So, again, did not think Bud played particularly well. Keyshawn struggled, so not the greatest game from him in terms of an offensive approach. Still struggling to defend without fouling. That's another thing. I mean, look, Middleton, 4 of 6, 11 points. He was okay, 20 minutes, so I don't know what that was about. Didn't play a lot, but a lot of negatives, realistically. Let's talk about a positive real quick. Trey Johnson was really good again. Played nearly 30 minutes, had 18 points on 6 of 14 from the field, 2 of 7 from 3, 4 boards. I thought he was awesome offensively. You know, he made a couple open looks from 3. Had a couple of buckets he created from, you know, on his own, getting to the rim, had a couple tough finishes around, had a blow by. I don't know who was guarding him, but blew by his defender for a layup in the first half. Had a nice running layup in the second half, got to his spots, hit some mid-range. So kind of showed you the layers to his game, being able to score on all 3 levels. The defense wasn't great again. Was a minus 16. And I think again, it's similar to Kispert. I don't think his head coach put him in a good position to succeed defensively. You know, you're putting Corey Kispert on LaMelo Ball. What do you think's gonna happen, man? Trey Johnson, you're putting this guy in his third NBA game who's not considered to be a good defender on a guy that's cooking you for 38-point triple double. Like, do you think that's actually the best matchup? It's just, you know, so again, I'll say the same thing for Kispert that I said for Johnson. You can be mad that, you know, he's not a good defender, but when their head coach is putting them in a really vulnerable and tough spot defensively, I don't think it's fair to assign them all the blame. I think, you know, Brian Keefe did not do his best tonight, and it kind of showed, especially in the second half. So Trey Johnson's playing well. I'm gonna pull up his stats from his first couple NBA games because he's been great in his first couple of NBA games, so I want to talk about it. Never mind. I am not logged into Twitter, it seems. That's a bit odd, but other than that, I really liked how Trey played. I liked how he got to his spots. He's shooting 42% through three NBA games. Has had 15 plus points in all three games. I think it was 16, then 17, then 18. So clearly working his way up, getting more comfortable. So I really liked what I saw from Sar on both ends. I liked Trey's offensive game in this contest against Charlotte. But the defense was just suspect, and really bad at times, especially in the second half. Keith's rotations certainly warrant an explanation. But, just a tough loss. The Wizards had a chance to continue that momentum from a big win in Dallas to go over 500, and they folded in the second half. So definitely not the greatest loss, but 1-2. This is, again, I was going to touch on it earlier. This is why a big reason why I predicted they would only get to 19 wins. Like, you see, they have the potential to be a good enough team to surpass that number, to be in the mid-20s in terms of their win total. But it's nights like this where, a lot of the younger players do struggle, and their head coach just doesn't put them in a good position to succeed. Whether you say that the team wants to lose, which I don't think that's the case, the players certainly don't, the coaches don't, or you just believe that the roster is just intentionally bad. This team is at this place for a reason. And so I think you're unfortunately going to see a lot more of those games where they play great in the first half, they kind of implode in the second half, and you're kind of sat there wondering, like, why did this team not win this game? Whether you think it's because of the coaching or because of the roster, because of the youth, I think there's going to be a lot of these ones where you kind of sit there questioning, what just happened. And that's kind of what happened in this case against Charlotte. So again, Wizards lose 139 to 113. Trey Johnson and Sar had some pretty solid performances. The rest of the team, not so much, including Keyshawn George, who I'm sure will let you know about it, that he wasn't happy with the way he played. So again, that's going to do it for this pod. Again, thanks for listening. A lot of people have liked and asked me to continue to do these post-game pods. So for as long as I have time to do it, I'm going to try my best to do it. Again, thanks for listening. That's going to wrap it up for this episode. I'll be back. I believe they play Philadelphia on Tuesday. So I'll be back then to recap that one on the pod. But that's going to do it for this episode. Thanks for listening, as always. Go Wiz.